Tonight, I want us to look at the characteristic of Christ in our life. And in order for us to be able to witness Christ in our life, we need to know Christ. You can't just talk about Jesus. You got to know Jesus. Now, in order for us to introduce Jesus to the world, you have to truly know Jesus before you can do that. So, how do we show our Christianity to a world that doesn't know Christ? I've got, here's our title for tonight. Lend a hand and express your heart. Lend a hand and express your heart. Colossians 2, verse 11. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. It was a spiritual procedure, the cutting away of your sinful nature. Therefore, number one, here's what we need to look at. We lend a hand. To lend a hand as a Christian means service. We are born again to be servants. Now, I belong to Christ. Paul said that he was a slave now to Christ, and that in our relationship as Christians with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know that his word tells us that we are responsible for projecting who he is to the world. Now, one of the great failures of the church today in this particular generation, and I'm sure in times past, and because our focus has not been on presenting Christ, but too many want to present themselves of how good they are because of Christ. Many times we will allow self to step before who Jesus is. Well, or we'll tell someone, well, you know, since I accepted Christ, I've never done the things that you're doing, so therefore you must not be a Christian because I am a Christian and I know I'm a Christian, and you don't even look like a Christian. You don't act like a Christian. You don't dress like a Christian. You don't even say Jesus like I say Jesus. So you must not be a Christian. Okay. Jesus says in order for us to get that away from us, which is sinful pride in the heart of an individual, doesn't mean that that individual is not a Christian, but it does mean that that individual has lost their witness to a lost and dying world because that individual presents himself, their self, as being, I want you to look at me because this is what a Christian looks like. Well, if a Christian looks like you and how you've acted, I don't want to be a Christian. So, you and I need to understand that we need to promote and project Christ through our life. The lending of a hand or service is the cutting of the heart that goes to the deepest in an individual. It's when you humble yourself, that's your attitude, and serve others, that's your actions. You have to be humble from the standpoint, and you don't, this is not humility. When you go up to someone and you say, I'm a Christian and I am so humble. Well, that does not express humility when you're trying to convince the people you're talking to that you're humble or that you're a good Christian. I mean, I can remember when I wasn't as good a Christian as I am today. And I remember when I was on your level. And on your level, where I'm so glad I've grown. What happened to you? You must have plateaued out there somewhere. And I remember hearing that stuff in a lot of situations in churches. And all I could do was roll my eyes because if I opened my mouth, I'd be in trouble. You see, again, as a Christian, project Christ, not yourself. Everybody knows we're a mess. Okay, how are you going to really, truly present Jesus Christ to an individual in a way that that individual wants to become a Christian if you're pushing you instead of who he is? You need to let them know, and you do this with humility. Not only do I not know it all, I know very little. But that's the greatness of who Jesus is. That Jesus touched my heart as a sinner that is saved by grace. And it's the only way that you can be saved is by grace of Jesus Christ. And it's not of your actions, but it's of his action. Always put the spotlight on who Jesus is. As sure as you put it on yourself for a second, a big sinkhole will fall down underneath you. And you'll get that sinking feeling because you're talking to an individual that knew you when. See, and then, or you may be talking to an individual that heard about you when. And so they make up what, you know, doesn't fit. So there again, you promote who Jesus is. Let's look at Matthew 20, 25 through 28. Jesus called all the followers together and said, "You know that the rulers of the non-Jewish people love to show their power over the people, and their important leaders love to use all their authority. But it should not be that way among you. Whoever wants to become great among you must serve the rest of you like a servant. Whoever wants to become first among you must serve the rest of you like a slave. In the same way, the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many people." Now, that's the personality you and I are to be presenting. And that personality does not fit us. That personality only fits who Jesus is. Our whole focus on our walk right here on planet Earth, folks, is to present Jesus. Now, one of these days, and I know I've got to back off a little bit on talking about my excitement about walking through the door, because I'll sin if I keep doing that, because I get more excited about going to be with the Lord than I do here to take care of his business. And that in itself is sin. So you and I need to look at ourselves realizing we're a mess. And I know that bothers some people that, you know, "Well, preacher, you said that you're a mess." And I said, "Yeah, I said that because I sort of cleaned it up. And I said mess because I know me from the human standpoint." Many people do not want their pastor or priest or a rabbi or anyone to show any signs of being human. That's why so many people drop out from the church. And I don't care, and I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. So many people are dropping out because they say, "Well, I don't like what that preacher said, or I don't like the way that individual acted." And the individuals are the ones that cause such an uproar are the individuals that still point to themselves rather than to Jesus. Okay, you see, I have an out as a pastor, and I see that out now because I admit I have nothing to do whatsoever with the individual that walks that aisle to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. I know it's by Holy Spirit power and the Word of God that touches that individual. I didn't have anything to do with it. But I also cannot be found guilty for them not walking that aisle. You got the point? Okay, when it is all I know that it's Holy Spirit power, then I'm to project Holy Spirit. Then I also know that as long as I preach the gospel, which it is the Word of God that touches the heart, and it is the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit that leads them to come forward, when that takes place, then it is all about who Jesus is. So I can't be found guilty because they don't walk it, and I can't get the praise because they do, right? Y'all remember the day when the whole big deal, especially with the Southern Baptists, was the idea of how many that we have on the roll. You know, the big number game. Y'all remember that game? The number game focused on making sure that, you know, I shouldn't be teaching with a knife in my hand. That's dangerous, isn't it? The, yeah, the, oh, yeah, thank you. The, the focus that you and I need to have on Christ instead of the count. You remember the scalp period where we did it all by you all don't remember that, but you were in a church during the time. How many people can we get on the roll? How many people can we get to pack the pew? And how many people can we get to do this, that, and the other? And it was us. We'd invite enough people to get on the pew, and they'd come that Sunday. And then we'd wait next year, and we'd invite them again, because we could pack a pew. Well, our whole duty as Christians is not to worry about packing a pew, but our whole obligation to God as Christian is to present the Word. Holy Spirit will pack the pew. Our size church, many pastor friends of mine have said that it just, they'd give anything to have the size church and the type of church like we have right here at Vine Grove Baptist. And I said, well, it didn't cost us anything except service. And nobody sees themselves lording their ideals over anyone else. It's all about who Jesus is. But you can get to a point to where it's a dangerous size church. All the factions and all that, I'm fine and comfortable. Actually, we truly do have 470-some on the roll. And I get tickled sometimes because when I look out on Sunday morning, again, this Sunday will be one part of the group, and next Sunday the others come. And this and that part, other part stays at home. That's with Baptist. That's just the way we are. We do that. But again, the idea of making sure that we present Christ. 1 John 2:6. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Here's three types of people spiritually. You ready? Number one is the spiritually committed Christians. They're service-oriented. Number two is the spiritually apathetic Christians. Self-centered faith. Well, if it's going to suit me, that's fine. I know I've listened to people talk about making sure that they tithe because they were wanting to the Lord to bless them, and they wanted to try it to see if he would. Well, that's a bad way of doing that. That's not the reason you tithe. Don't try tithe to push Christ or checking him out as whether he's going to bless me or not. I do that because I know it's scriptural. And when Jesus was standing by looking at the people who gave when he was in the temple, he stood by the offering box to see who put what in. Gosh, that had to be exciting, didn't it? And, oh, better dig a little deeper. Jesus is standing there. I get in trouble. Okay, getting started on lending a hand. First of all, start without an invitation. Don't wait to be asked to serve. Well, nobody asked me, so I didn't do it. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then you were commanded to serve, and you said that you will serve. That reminds me, Pat, of my mother's her Fay's bird clock that she got from her mother. Don't wait to be asked. Take action. Just step out and serve. Y'all have any problem with that? I don't know why the air conditioner won't kick on. Okay. Second, start small. Small is so easy to do and it's so simple to miss. Listen to this. Starting small on our service is visit a neighbor who lives alone. Make a new friend. Get a new cell phone that doesn't ring like a sissy. Send a thank you note. Offer your seat. Offer your seat. Drive courteously. Especially if you got a bumper sticker that says, follow me to church. Be careful. Forgive a mistake. You know, some of the mistakes that people forgive are the ones they make themselves. you know, oh, if you got to forgive me, that's just a mistake. But when it happens to them, you know, that anger. Okay, here's the big one I want to get apart across to y'all. Encourage a child. If you don't do anything else but encourage a child, I guarantee you, folks, that all heaven is paying attention when you're in the presence of a child. Scriptural. Their angels are there, but all heaven is watching as to how that child is treated. Can you imagine, after seeing some of the children go through what we've seen them go through in our generation? It's not the only generation, but you will see the problems that have what's going on with children. Now, let me get something out here to you that you need to understand about the church. I hear people talking today about, I cannot believe that the church has fallen to the point, and so much strife within the church. The first century church, there were more splits in the first century church than at any other time. You got it? There was so much arguing going on. There were why do you think Paul had to keep going back? He had to keep going back, and then, you know, Galatia, you know, he's saying, what's the matter, you people? You know, you accepted Jesus and everything is fine. I turn and walk away, and you all have all of this stuff going on in the church. So there's how all the groups at that point were splitting apart from one another. And it's continued through our time. There was never a time that didn't take place. There's always been a battle against the church, and that battle is waged by Satan himself to attack the believers. Now, it doesn't do Satan any good, nor does he need to attack a follower that he has. You don't need an atheist chaplain, because Satan is their chaplain. And with Satan being their chaplain, he works free of charge, and he loves it. Okay. Next, Matthew 10:42. John 12:26. Jesus said, my Father will honor the one who serves me. Matthew 10:42. And if you give even, now this is an important scripture you all need to mark. You need to mark it in your Bible. It says it different in different translations. Matthew 10:42. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. That was an idea and a focus of the followers of Jesus Christ that were put out of the city and were stepped upon, or whatever was done with society. And the call goes out to heaven, and the Lord says, actually, I think in the old English that says, the one who gives a cold drink of water to a prophet or a preacher or a teacher or any of that surely will not lose their reward, or they will receive the reward of a prophet. The one who giveth a cold drink of water to a prophet will receive a reward from a prophet. Okay, that was lend a hand service number one. Next is express your heart. Here's the dangerous one, and it is extremely dangerous for you. Express your heart. That's the cutting of the heart that moves us to enter the pain of others. Cutting of the heart that moves us to enter the pain of others. Folks, we have so much pain going on in our own life, in our own family. We just don't want to take on anymore. And yet, when you express your heart to someone, there's going to be pain in that. When you give your heart to someone, expect the heart to be broken. The only one that will not break your heart is not that dearly beloved you married to. The only one that will never break your heart is Jesus Christ. And he will revive us again. But when you enter the pain of others, that's called compassion and expressed strength of character. And it takes character for you to enter the pain of someone else, because you become a part of that hurt that they feel. They will tell you the story that will break your heart, and you will weep, and your heart will break on their behalf. And you will look at them, and you want to fix them, but you can't fix them. You don't know what to say to fix them. You don't understand how it got in this shape. And the only thing that you can do is say, may our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have mercy on us all. You throw yourself at the mercy of Christ. Here's the first step of compassion. You got to look. Now, folks, how many times, and you may be guilty of this, I know I am, knowing that let's say I'm walking through, doesn't matter where it is, whether I'm in the prison, was in the prison system or whatever I was doing, walking down the halls, that I knew the pain that was on somebody that was there, and I would go around to keep them from seeing me from their cell block because I just didn't want to deal because I'd already had them in counseling. I saw the vileness that it went on with the child, and I could not hear it again. Yet, it's not just the people that I had to deal with. Now it's family members. Now it's people that we know and we love and we want to help, and so often we won't even look in their direction. And we don't look because we don't want to hurt anymore. You ever been so broken that you're just, you don't think you could help anyone anyway because you're broken? And that is the time and that point in your life when God will scoop that hand under and say, okay, get up, son. Get up, daughter. There's more to be done. Well, to look at the pain of others. I have a nephew that my heart goes out to with the cancer and battling it. He's gone back into the pulpit, and that church is so compassionate to allow him to be in there. And I text back and forth, and he loves being able to get back in the pulpit. He said, I've been in bed for a year, and to get back in the pulpit. Folks, when you're called to preach, it's not easy sitting on that pew or sitting in a chair listening to somebody else preach. I don't know how to explain that to you, because it's calling of a parent, the calling of a parent to watch after your own children. And you know good and well nobody's going to watch after the children the way you're going to watch after your children. But I look at my nephew, and I may have told you all this, but when I texted him one time, and I said, you know, you're the only other member of our family that could have ever made a Marine. You're the only one that I know that could have ever come close to being a Marine. And this is before he got his church. He was, you know, looking and ready to give up and all of this. And he sent me a text back that was so nice that I knew when he said he was honored. And I was so glad I said Marine and not Navy. I did. Gosh. you knew, yeah. I was getting, yes. Matthew 9:36-38. When he saw the crowds. Now listen to what's going on with Jesus. When he saw the crowds. This is something that breaks my heart and yours too when we're giving food or helping them. Folks, I can't help what their habits are. But I can help them feed their children. I can help them where they are. It bothers me, but it doesn't bother me nearly as much as thinking that I would let somebody go that didn't have anything, and the reason they didn't is because they spent it on alcohol, spent it on cigarettes, spent it on anything else. But the kids are still hungry. I'm not sent here to judge that. But I am sent to have compassion, and having the compassion and doing it in the right way. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Cry out to God to send more workers. The worker or the individual, my friends, that say that they're called by God to preach, called by God to be a servant of God in a ministry. That individual that thinks about how much they can make, well, they got a surprise coming. That individual who thinks so, that, you know, this is a good, clean job. And I've met a lot of pastors who like it for a job. You know, it's clean. My children grow up in a church and they can, you know, they can be taught properly and all of this. I always warn them, be careful with that attitude. For one thing, don't go into ministry if you want to make money. The next thing is, the call into the ministry has nothing to do with money. It has to do with what is important. And what is important is the soul, the eternal life of the individuals that you will come in contact with. Now, I will admit, within our church right now, in our broadcast and all to 130-some countries, you think of that. You and I are going to get to meet people when we step over into heaven. We're going to get to meet people who heard the broadcast. We're going to get to meet people that you came in contact with and they were impressed of your actions on the outside. They too wanted to find this Jesus that you say you know. First step to compassion was look. The second step of compassion is move. Do something. You know, oh, I feel so sorry for him. Oh, well, I'll think about that tomorrow. Who was that on Gone with the Wind? Yeah, Scarlett. She always pushing tomorrow. I haven't seen that since Buck was a pup. But how many times you watch it, Norm? How many times you watch Gone with the Wind?
Several.
Yeah. That's a long movie for those days. Good. Yeah. Okay. Mark 1:40-41. A man with the leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Now, let me ask you all a question. And this will probably rub some who are listening in the wrong way. I got to thinking about this the other day. Do you have to repent to accept Christ as Lord and Savior? Now, the more I got to thinking about it, more I realized. I don't remember a time when I didn't believe Jesus is who Jesus is. I didn't know what repent meant. When I knew that Jesus was talking to me, what would I have repented of? How can a kid get in that much trouble to know what sin is or to repent of? So then I understood more within my life and within the life of individuals. Christ makes first contact and touches that heart. And because of him in you, we want to do what is right. We want to do that. I've got a sermon that's coming up on based on the heart. He focuses on that heart. And then I got to, you know, I think, I don't ever remember saying I repent of my sins. I remember talking in front of the church at 8 years old. But I'd listen to people when they're trying to lead a child to Christ. You got to repent because you're a sinner. Okay, tell me this. How in the world is that kid supposed to understand anything? All of the years growing up, you're okay, don't worry about it. You're okay, don't worry about it. You're okay, don't you worry about it. God loves you just like you are. Then all of a sudden, they get in an age that a parent says, okay, you're a sinner, you're going to have to get saved. It blow that kid's mind, doesn't it? What happened to all those 12 years when nothing was wrong? Now all of a sudden, you've decided what time it is. Okay, let me read this. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I think in one of the translations, it may be in another one of the Gospels, but that Jesus says, I am willing. I'm willing. So expressing your heart in compassion is very risky, right? But remember, God operates while we cooperate. God operates while we cooperate. I don't know how to cut somebody open and fix them. I do not know how to do that with the spirituality of people. But I do know this. It's God that's doing the operation. All I'm doing is cooperating to feed the message. You and I as Christians, give them the word. Listen to their last scripture, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. All right, that's really focusing on as we grow in Christ. The sad part is a lot of times people don't want to grow. A lot of times people say, I'm fine just like I am. If I know any more, then more will be demanded of me. Now, I'll allow that individual to discuss that with God because I don't know what that means.